Get ready to receive from the Lord tonight. Pastor Tom has another amazing message, so let's welcome him. Come on, welcome him. Let's go. Let's go. Pastor Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. So, can I do that here? My voice is a little raspy after that worship, right? No, I got it. Oh, yeah, it's a new pair of shoes. Yes. You should follow me on social media. I post them all the time. I got a problem. So I've tried to open up every one of these talking times and services with like a little factoid about me. And everyone was asking this question today. Like I was asked this question a lot, which is unusual because I've been coming for, like 11 years. No one has ever cared to know the answer to this question. So I'm going to just tell this story about how I came to my very first GM camp in 2003. All right, so here's what happened. For those that had to already listen to this story because you asked, here it is again. So Pastor Josh was planning a camp and had a camp speaker already lined out, but something happened in his life, I don't know what, and he canceled at the last minute. Whoever that speaker was canceled at the last minute. And at that time, there was somebody serving in youth ministry alongside of Pastor Josh, and he was connected to my brother-in-law down in Florida. He had been a part of an internship down there. And so they called him and they said, hey, can you come up to Alaska and speak at our summer camp? And he was like, well, unfortunately, I'm going to Africa for a missions trip, so I can't. But let me give you the phone number of somebody that would be great. That was my digits. And then so I came. The first time I came to camp, I was like third string. Like, we can't find anybody better, so could you show up? Right? And then they just kept bringing me back, and I'm super grateful for it, and had some incredible Alaskan experiences coming up all these times, so that's fun, and so that's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. Who said that? I love you too, bro. I love you too. So yeah. Anyways, I don't know if that was a cool factoid or not, but I just thought I'd tell that story because people ask, "How did you come to camp the first time?" I actually lived in Louisiana as a youth pastor when that happened. I grew up in California, went to Louisiana, started a youth group from scratch. There was like three kids, none of them wanted to be there, and so we just started to build a youth group and youth ministry, and it was incredible. It was incredible. And then I moved back to California where I should have been because California is beautiful. And then yes, there's a drought. Yes. And there's actually right now there is a fire. It's like a massive fire. It's like the biggest fire in Kern County history. Okay. So check this out, guys. This is our last night of camp. Right? Now, here's the thing, right? It goes so fast, doesn't it? It goes so fast, right? Okay, this is the question I have for you. No matter what place you got, I don't know who won. Did we announce any winners for the obstacle course yet? Oh, you didn't? Who won? What's your team name? Captain Crunch? What? Sirens and Captain Crunch together? That you guys? Siren Crunch won. Awesome. But okay. Congratulations. But let me ask you this, because even if you didn't win, I saw some incredible things take place on the obstacle course today. So how many of you would go, I might not have won, but mad props for myself right now because right? You conquered that thing. Now, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is just me. I didn't go through the obstacle course, but I got to hose some people down while they were on the obstacle course. Which was fun, right? So, and then I also, just got to be out there. That little tunnel that you go like underwater and then pop back up, I'm out. Peace. I know I preach about fear and conquering fears and all that kind of stuff, but like the little tunnel underground and you can't see through the water because it's like muddy And who knows, however many, like if you didn't go first, like if I went first, I would try it. But if you can't go first and you're thinking about how dirty and muddy the people were in front of you when they went and sweaty and stink. So like the last team, I think it was the red team, right? Merry Christmas. I got to give you the most props. I don't know what place or what where you were at in the competition, but you went through the obstacles last after every muddy body and stinky body and sweaty. Ugh. But you finished. So that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. So as we're thinking about the victories that have happened here at camp this week, as we're thinking about the things that have taken place, not just spiritually in this room, although there's been some very powerful services, some very powerful moments of prayer, and people having breakthrough, and God touching, and just doing incredible stuff. They've been powerful. There's been some relational and social breakthroughs. You got friends. Some of you came, and you didn't know anybody. You didn't even want to come, because you were like, I'm not going to have any friends, and I don't know anybody. And then now you're like BFFs with somebody, right? So you're like hanging all on them at altar time, and you're like, oh, we're cabin mates, and we're going to be friends forever, right? Right? So like this is the stuff that happens. So there's social and relational breakthroughs. There's spiritual breakthroughs. There's physical breakthroughs going through the camp, the obstacle course, right? And all the crazy things that happen. And so there's like so much good stuff that takes place at camp. So tonight what I want to talk to you about, I don't have any scripture slides on the screen tonight because I had to like change everything this afternoon of what I was going to talk about. So this is like Froggy Fresh right now, okay? By the way, if you don't know who Froggy Fresh is, you should check him out on YouTube. He's like legit, okay? Techno is my favorite music, by the way. That was the other factoid. I was like, that's like my all, like I listened to that on the way home from work just to kind of wind down and like, yeah, that's chill. Okay. So how do we go from this high, this spiritual breakthrough, this amazing environment that we're in? How do we keep this? How do we sustain this? How do we stop from becoming comfortably numb again in our spiritual walk? Tonight I'm going to talk to you about conquering numbness. Conquering numbness, where we lose our passion for our relationship and our walk with Christ, and we become numb. We just become routine. We become like Christian robots, and we're like, okay, I'm just going to church today, and okay, I'm just doing this thing because this is what Christians do. And we become numb to what God really wants to do, and we become numb to His voice and His unction and those breakthroughs that He wants to continue and He wants to sustain in our life. So how can we conquer numbness? We're going to go. Here we go. Number one, if you're writing this down. Conquering numbness. You have to stay amazed. Everybody stay amazed. Right? You've got to stay amazed by God. I know that might sound simple, but the truth of the matter is we lose our awe of God. Because we get used to His grace, because we get used to His mercy, because we expect forgiveness, because it's His promise, we lose the awe of God, and we lose that amazement and that wonder of who He is and what He's done for you and for me. Check this out. 1 Peter chapter 1 reads this way, verse 18. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Somebody say, you better tell somebody. You better tell somebody, right? Like, it cost God plenty to get you out of the dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Verse 19. He paid with Christ's sacrifice blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought, even though it is only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge. God always, everybody say always. God always knew He was going to do this for you. Now I want to stop right here for a moment. Now I don't know your story. I don't know what kind of stuff you brought to camp with you. I don't know what kind of baggage. I don't know what kind of past. I don't know what kind of fears, what kind of doubts. I don't know any of those things that you brought to camp with you. But when I read this scripture that says God always knew he was going to send Jesus to die on the cross for my mess ups, I got to stay amazed at who he is. Because for me, I got a lot of mess ups. I got a lot of places in my life where not only have I disappointed God, but I've disappointed me. Come on, Tom, you're better than that. Come on, Tom, get your act together, right? So I have been disappointed in myself a lot. And I know for sure I've let God down. Yet the scripture says God always knew. It was never a question in his mind. There was never a doubt. There was never a hesitancy. There was never a second thought that maybe you weren't going to be good enough for his spotless, perfect son's blood to die for you. It was always his plan to rescue your life. It was always his plan to redeem your soul. It was always his plan to erase the history of our sin. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah whom God then raised from the dead and glorified that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Listen, how do we conquer numbness? We've got to stay amazed. We can never lose the fact. We can never have the idea escape our hearts and our souls that Jesus died for you. I don't know if you've ever received communion with the cup and the bread. But every time I receive that little cup and that little bread, I realize it's not just snack time. Because it usually happens at the end of church, right? And so you're like, I'm hungry. Okay, at least I get some crackers today. But it's a reminder of the blood that was spilt for my sins. It's a reminder of the body that was beaten and broken and torn to shreds, as the scripture describes it, for my wholeness. You want to conquer being numb again? You want to maintain this atmosphere, this electrified atmosphere that we're in at this moment, that you know, this camp environment, this camp experience? You cannot afford to lose the awe and the wonder of God. You can't afford to go on autopilot. You've got to stay amazed. The greatest enemy of Christianity may be people who say they believe in Jesus, but they're no longer astonished or amazed by him. The greatest enemy of Christianity is people who say they believe in Jesus, but they're no longer amazed by him. If we take surprise out of our faith, all we have left is dry and dead religion. And we've been there. You've been there. I've been there. Where this thing's just dry. And you're like, oh, you're trying to chug through. You're just trying to, right? And it gets boring. And it gets mundane. Because we take surprise. We take the mystery out of the gospel. And all that is left is a frozen, petrified rules and regulation dogma. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Because we've lost the awe of God. Listen, when you're in awe of who Jesus is, you don't have to be told what you can and cannot do. You just like, anything that taints this, I don't want. I don't even care if it's allowed. I just don't want it. When you're amazed, when you're in awe of God, the moment we abandon astonishment, we're left with a meaningless religion. We're left with a meaningless religion. We cannot, if we're going to conquer numbness, we've got to stay in awe. We've got to stay amazed by who Jesus is. Second thing that I wrote down here is that we can't get comfortable. Everybody say comfortable. we helped you with that tonight by picking these chairs for you to sit on all during my amazing sermons so that you wouldn't get too comfortable. Although some of you have still managed to nod off and fall asleep. But I get it. You ran an obstacle course today. I didn't. I just held a water hose. There's a lot of water pressure coming out of that, though, right? Some of you know. You got blasted with it. You can't get comfortable. I want to read two passages of scripture to you about the life of David so that you can see the difference of one who is in awe of God and one who is comfortable. So check this out. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48, it says this. As Goliath, right, that's the giant, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran. Everybody say quickly ran. David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it at him with his sling, and it hit the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled, fell face down on the ground. Now, the rest of the story is David came and took Goliath's sword, and with Goliath's own sword, he sliced off Goliath's head. Boom! You should read the Bible. There's some sick stuff in there. It's amazing. Now, it says this about David right here, okay? It says he quickly ran out to meet that giant. Even though he was out-trained, he was out-armored, he was outsized, right? He was like, he had no business being there, but his amazement, his astonishment of who God is caused him to quickly run out, and with great enthusiasm, he flung that rock so hard that it sunk in. It had embedded itself into the forehead of the giant, right? Like if you've ever thrown a rock at somebody and hit them, it probably hasn't embedded itself into their skin. Hopefully not. Don't try it. Don't test it out, but it probably didn't happen. Like, you probably have been throwing rocks at some point and hit somebody, but it probably didn't embed itself into their skin. It says here that David threw it with such force, with such enthusiasm, with such astonishment in God, that it sank into the forehead of the giant. It embedded itself into his skin. Now let's jump ahead to 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says this, in the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, right? It's time when kings are supposed to go off to war. It says this, David sent Joab with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. So Joab took the place of the king, like as the commander in chief, right? So Joab went out there as the commander in chief. Verse 2 says, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. So he was supposed to be out to war, but instead, he casually or comfortably walked on the roof of his palace. Now, if you've read the story, this is where he sees Bathsheba, and then he ends up having an affair, and like all kinds of chaos breaks out in the camp. All kinds of things. So you've got to ask yourself, which one represents you? Are you charging into battle? Are you casually wandering on the rooftops? Right? David went to a place of comfort rather than a place of astonishment. We can't, if we're going to conquer numbness in our life, if we're going to go back into Anchorage or whatever town you might be a part of, I think everybody's from Anchorage, but I know there's a couple churches around, but so whatever city, whatever school, when school gets back in, you can't go back in and then become numb, comfortably numb to your spiritual journey and spiritual life and the stuff that God has deposited into your soul and into your heart this week. So how do you keep it alive? You can't afford to become comfortable. David, when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, so he saw something he wasn't supposed to see, and he thought something he wasn't supposed to think. He did something he wasn't supposed to do, and he lost something he was never supposed to lose. When we become numb, the same thing happens to us. We go into places we're never supposed to be. And we start to think things we're never supposed to think. And then we do things we're never supposed to do. And then we lose stuff we're never supposed to lose. Right? How does a kid go from being at GM summer camp this week to in just a couple of short weeks or a couple of months or whatever, being in the midst of a party? How does that happen? They become numb. They become comfortable, and so they go places they're not supposed to go, and they see things they're not supposed to see, and they think things they're not supposed to think, And then they do things they're not supposed to do. And they lose something they're never supposed to lose. Let me tell you this right now. I want everybody to look at me right here, right here, right here. The things that God has done in your life this week, you're never supposed to lose. Because God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. For those of you that got filled with the Holy Spirit last night or refilled, those of you that have been received a word from God that had somebody pray over you, those of you that received a special touch, you're never meant to lose that. Sure, you'll have other encounters. Sure, there's other things there that God has promised for you, but you're never meant to lose it. But so how does someone lose it? Because you and I both know people that have lost it. Some of us have been in that boat where we've lost it. Now, maybe we've rededicated. Maybe you came back to camp this year going, man, yeah, I really lost what I got last year at camp, and hopefully this camp will stir it back up in me. And you know what I'm talking about, and this is making sense to you. God, what God has done in your life, you're not meant to lose. But if you become comfortable, you'll find yourself in places you're not supposed to be. With enthusiasm, David ran into the battle to serve his God. But it was with comfort that David walked on the rooftop to serve himself. How did he lose it? He lost it by taking his eyes off of his calling, off of his purpose, off of his mission, off of his God, and putting it on his own comfort. Listen, I know that it's really easy to experience Jesus here. Because we're in an environment that's electrifying, it's charged. I mean, worship tonight was like amped. It was like next level. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, whoa, these kids are supposed to be drained and wiped because of the obstacle course. And then you guys were like, bah! I mean, it was amazing. It was awesome. I mean, mad props to you guys, right? Mad props to you. But what I'm saying to you and what hopefully you've gotten out of this week is that we know that there's obstacles. We know that there's fear. And so we want to equip you. We want to impart to you the ability, the strength, the knowledge that you can overcome those things when you go back to your normal or regular environment. You don't have to go back to being numb. You don't have to go back to being on a spiritual autopilot. You don't have to go back to your spiritual shallowness. You can stay at this depth even though the environment isn't the same. And you do that by keeping your eyes on him and not on your own comfort, not on your own ease, not on your own, oh, this is too tough, this is hard. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but the Holy Spirit is here to empower you, to encourage you, to lift you up. Is this making sense to anybody? You guys are quiet tonight. Quiet. All right. Third thing that I wrote down here. We're talking about conquering numbness. So number one was, you got to stay amazed. You've got to stay amazed. Number two, you can't get comfortable. You cannot get comfortable. Number three, I'm trying to repeat them for you because I don't have slides, so I want you to get this tonight. Number three is you've got to pour into others. You want to conquer numbness in your life? You got to invest in someone else's life. You want to conquer numbness in your life? You got to be serving. You got to be giving back because it produces life. You are never more like Jesus than when you're investing into someone else. Every time, every story, every encounter that you read about Jesus, he's pouring himself out into someone else, right? He's being generous with his time. He's being generous with his gifts. He's being generous with who he is. Not just, don't think of generosity just in money terms. That's not what we're talking about. We're just saying Jesus was generous with himself to pour into others, right? And it produced life. This is what Jesus says at the encounter with the woman at the well to the disciples. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was hungry. He might have been hangry. I don't know. But when the disciples came back, Jesus said, I've got food. I've got substance. I've got life that you don't even understand because I've been pouring out into someone. Because I've been giving of myself into someone. I've been investing in their spiritual journey. I've been investing in their spiritual walk and in their spiritual life. The best way to conquer numbness is to be pouring out into someone else. Listen, you want to stay astonished at God's grace to save your life? Lead someone else to Jesus. The moment when you're there and you're like, hey, would you pray with me? Would you, yes, let's pray. And you, boom, it lights a fire in you. Sorry, I'm spitting tonight. It will light you up inside to see, to be there in that moment when you lead someone to Jesus. And if you don't know how to do this yet, if you don't know how to do this, I'm not knocking on you. I'm not shaming you. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm saying figure it out, because it is the greatest spiritual experience you will ever have leading someone to Christ. It is amazing. All you need is one hit and you'll be addicted. One time. One time, you'll be there in that moment. One time, you'll be there in that instant. One time, it'll be one of your friends who says, yes, I need Jesus. Now, let me just tell you this little secret right here, okay? Listen, when it comes to leading your friends or even people you don't know, total strangers to Jesus, you don't have to tell them to wait until Thursday night GM service. You don't have to tell them, hey, really, you want to know Jesus? Why don't you come to church on Sunday with me? Because pastor's going to probably give you an opportunity to do that. You don't have to do that. God's empowered you. God's called you. God's equipped you that you could lead them to him right there in the shopping mall, in the parking lot, in the classroom. Doesn't matter. That's what he's called you to do. Check this out. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you. Everybody say, I'm with you. Right? Jesus said, I'm with you till the very end of the age. How do you conquer numbness? You do this. You go and you make disciples of others. You go and pour in to others. You go and teach and pastor and shepherd others. You've been given a circle of friends that Pastor Reed and Mariah may never meet or never have influence into, but you do. And God's planted you in the middle of that so that you can shepherd their spiritual journey, even as a young lady and as a young man. You don't have to wait till someone calls you pastor. You don't have to wait till you get, you know, whatever education or an adult, or I gotta wait till I'm married, I gotta wait till I go to college. Listen, you can lead people right now. You can lead people right now. The thing is, you want to conquer the roller coaster of spiritual high at camp, the spiritual dive after camp, the spiritual high the next camp, the spiritual dive after camp. You got to start pouring into others. You got to start investing into others. You've got to take this self-focused stuff that God's been doing on you, right? God's been doing a work on you. This is not a guilt trip here. We're just saying, while you've been here, you've been peeling back the layers and letting God work on you, on your stuff. When you leave here, though, you got to stop focusing on you and start figuring out, God, how can I take what you've done and then start investing that into others? How can I do that in the locker room? How can I do that in the classroom? How can I do that on my block? How can I do that at the park? How can I do that in a pickup basketball game? How can I do that with my cousins? Right? When you start pouring into others, it produces life in you like nothing else will. And you conquer numbness. You maintain passion for Christ by pouring into others. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going, so you got to go. I'm leaving, so you got to go tell. And you got to make disciples. And you got to train them. And you got to instruct them. And you got to teach them. And you got to walk with them. And you got to journey with them. And in so doing, it produces life. In my own life, I know this. I don't know if you can tell. Like, sometimes after service, I'm like, man, those guys must think I'm mad at them because I feel like I've been yelling all night. Right? But when I get up here and I start to talk about God like this, man, it lights me up. Like it produce, after service, I'm wiped because I'm like, God, I want to give every ounce of energy I can into delivering and directing and guiding and being a bridge to get your students into the destiny that you've called them to be. I don't want to leave going, oh, I'm ready to go play a basketball game right now. I got all kinds of energy because I just, you know, put it on chill mode. Listen, God's got so much stuff for you that I can't afford to put it on chill mode while I'm telling you about this, because it's just, I couldn't if I wanted to. I'd be more tired trying to hold it in. But listen to me. I just declare in Jesus' name his anointing that breaks that stupid cycle of this spiritual up and down, that you are more than a conqueror over this numbness and over this loss of passion that happens after an event like this. Right? Romans 8:37. I mean, I haven't even quoted it, but all this week's been based off of this verse. No, in all things, everybody say all things. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through Jesus Christ, you don't have to go back to the same method or the same style or the same rhythm that you've been in. You can be free. You can conquer the numbness. You can conquer the lack of desire or passion that comes through just the mundane and everyday autopilot of serving Jesus. And you can awaken his passion in you. This camp, this week, is meant to revolutionize this youth ministry, this church, the city, your household, your school campus, every place that you have influence into. This camp, what God deposits into your life at this week, the things he breaks off of you this week. He says it this way: be the light of the world. Be the light of the world. Now I want you to think about Christmas time for a moment. Now, the thing about Christmas time, not only do we love getting presents, I love getting presents, I really do. Who doesn't like free stuff? I'm at a point in my life now, though, that none of it's free, because I usually buy all the presents that are for me. I mean, not that I'm the one that goes to the store, but I'm the one that paid for them. Daddy, we got you this with your money. Right? There's a little gift that says, "To Babe from Hot Mama." I'm like, oh. I wonder what I paid for. But the wonder of Christmas is all those crazy Christmas lights. Now, if your family's anything like my family, like, we get in a car and we go hunting for the craziest house decorated. Right? You do, like, you go through neighborhoods with the parade of lights, right? And you're just like, whoa. And you look at them. Now, I know that I'm still just like a little kid. I know that. I get that. I lack maturity. I understand that. I still think like farts are funny and, you know, I get that. I understand that. But when I pull up to a house that is lights, not out, but on, I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. Now, here's the thing. Check this out. I don't go looking for Christmas lights during the day. Right, you wait till it's dark. Now, I know that for you in December, that's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's probably an exaggeration. Okay. All right, so maybe it's not an exaggeration. For me, where I live, it's 4 o'clock, okay? 4 o'clock, it's dark where I live in December. But you don't go during the daytime. You don't go during the daylight. Because when you see a house, it kind of ruins it, doesn't it? Like in the daylight, when you go, you see all the green cables that connect them all up. And you see the things that anchor down the little snowman that's doing this kind of thing. Or, you know, or Santa Claus, whatever the case is, right? And you're like, oh, that really looks kind of ugly. But when it's dark and the lights come on, you're like, ooh. Your life's the same way. You got junk in your life that when people see, you're like, okay, I'm still working on that. Jesus is still working on me. He ain't through yet, okay? He's still working on me. I own that. I mean, I'm probably one of the craziest preachers you ever heard of, because I'll tell you that I mess up and I blow it and there's all kinds of junk in my life, right? But I'm just trying to keep it real. But where I step into darkness and people see the light of Jesus in my life, it's a whole nother story, right? there's amazement. There's wonder. There's surprise. And it fuels my life. God wants you to be the light in the darkness of Anchorage. God wants you to be the light of the darkness of your sphere of influence. And he wants you to do that by conquering the numbness that creeps into our lives because we get comfortable, because we lose our amazement, because we don't stay astonished, because we're not investing in people. We're not pouring into their life. We are more than conquerors. You are more than a conqueror. And God wants to fill you up in such a way that you don't become numb, that you don't become the same old routine Christian thing, right? The same old Thursday nights when you come into GM, if you catch yourself going, yep, I know exactly what's going to happen. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. This is just routine. If you find yourself slipping into that attitude, you need to check yourself. Because you got to get back to the place of surprise by God, of wonder, of astonishment, and conquer that numbness that wants to creep in. Is this making sense? Right? Are we keeping it real? Right? So we're going to pray tonight. Now, I don't know what's about to happen. I don't know what's about to happen. And we might have to prep the worship team because this is a little shorter than I've gone the rest of this week. But I figured you guys might be a little tired and we need to keep you moving a little bit, right? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. We're going to pray. And here's what we're going to pray for. This is what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray specifically if you have a routine of the spiritual hype and the spiritual dive. And you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's not for you. But if you're like, man, I know what you're saying. Like, I've been to camps, and I've been to this, I've been to that, and I get hyped, and I get super excited. But in my life, there is a routine of this spiritual dive afterwards. And you're like, I just want to break that. I don't want to assume that of myself. I don't want to expect that of myself. And I want that broken over my life. We're going to pray for that here in just a moment. Secondly, if you're saying to yourself, man, I understand now some key steps, and there's lots more steps that I could have unpacked, but I wanted to keep it simple tonight. If you're saying, man, I understand some key steps, I have to start pouring into people. What we're specifically going to pray for in regards to this tonight is that God would give you faces. God would give you the names, and maybe he's already done this, because this is what I've been asking ever since I wrote this message, right? God, make it clear to them who they're supposed to pour into. Make it clear to them who their mission is, who they're supposed to go after, who they're supposed to reach, who they're supposed to be a light for. But you might be here, and when we, like, this is our last service, so when we leave, I want us to leave saying, God, I'm going into my world to make disciples. I'm going into my world to make a difference. I'm going to start pouring into those people that you give me access to and permission and influence into. And so tonight, one of the things that we want to pray over you is that God will make it clear exactly who you're supposed to reach. And let's make something really clear. Every one of you, every single person in this room, every one of us have a group of people we're called to reach. There's a place of impact for our lives. God never had any illegitimate children. Your parents might have, but God didn't. Right? God didn't. You're here. You're here on planet Earth. Even if you're sitting here going, but I don't have any friends at all. I'm homeschooled and I have no friends. Listen. I graduated from homeschool, okay? So I don't say that to make fun of anybody. I'm calling it out because some of you use that as an excuse. Boom. I could drop the mic and walk away right now. But if you're alive, if you're breathing, if you're here on planet Earth, it's because you are an expression of God to humanity. You are an expression of God to humanity. You complete the story of God. You complete the story of God. And for you to go, well, I'm kind of this type of person. I'm kind of this type of social skills, and I don't have friends, or I don't have blah, 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 fill in the blanks of excuses. Listen, you are missing such a huge aspect of this life in Christ. And I'm calling you to come out of that. I'm not saying you have to be Mr. Bubbly personality and get up on a microphone and talk like me. I'm not saying that you got to lead the group in Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you don't, that you have to be anything but you. What I'm saying is that figure out the you you're supposed to be and then go be that, which is going to make a difference in people's lives. It is going to be the light of the world. So you got to serve. You got to pour out. So we're going to pray for those things. We're going to ask God to conquer the numbness that's in our life, that we don't continue the same cycle. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Holy Spirit, you're so much smarter than I am. You're so much more powerful than I am. Your ability to move in hearts and lives is so much greater than I could ever communicate or speak or declare. And so I ask that right now in this moment, God, in this room, in this space, you've done so many great things already. But we're just asking for one more time this week, tonight, you would do what only you are capable of doing. That you would break the spiritual cycle of ups and downs. You would break the numbness in our life. You would just ignite. You would ignite us as more than conquerors over these things. Over these things. Some of you, you're in this place, you're in this funk, where you're questioning life and you're questioning all kinds of things. And when I talk about passion and coming alive, there's even just a little hint of some envy or jealousy of saying, you know, I wish I could be that alive. And I would tell you, in my own personal story, coming from a guy who tried committing suicide twice and didn't want to live anymore at all, I know exactly what that's like. The only thing, the only one that can produce life in us like this is Jesus. There's no self-manufacturing it. There's no just waking up from it and getting over some of the stuff in our life. It comes simply from a genuine and an authentic relationship with Jesus. So one more time this week, I'm going to ask you this question. But I want to be super clear as to who I'm asking this of or to. If you're here tonight and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never, ever given Jesus the opportunity to come in and change your life, but tonight you're willing to give him an opportunity, you're willing to give him a chance, you're willing to say, God, I want real life. I don't want to be numb. I don't want to be numb. I want real life. If you've never made this decision before and tonight you want to, would you simply just slip up your hand wherever you're at and say, yep, that's me. Ask you this question, because some of you are in this boat. Maybe you have made this decision before, but you know you're not where you should be. You know relationally with Christ, you know your authenticity, You're on autopilot, and you're saying, tonight, God, I want to resurrender. I want to resurrender my life. I want to recommit and rededicate, reopen my heart to you. If that's you, would you be honest enough just to simply slip up your hand where you're at? You're not responding to me, so just hold it up for a second to him, right? This is your response. This is your surrender to him. You're not responding to me right now. This is just your surrender to him, saying, yes, Jesus, one more time. Restore my relationship with you one more time. Yeah. Is there anybody else you want to join these like 16 that are making this choice? You're just saying, yep, thanks, yeah. Again, you're surrendering to him, not to me. Here in just a moment, we're going to move out of our seats and we're going to respond to him. But I want you to spend just a few moments talking to him. You can put your hands back down now. Jesus, we surrender our hearts to you. Come in once again. Restore our relationship with you. Forgive us that we've gone astray. Bring new light and new life into my heart. Set me free. In Jesus' name. If that was you, just claim that prayer. Say, yep, God, that's my prayer tonight. That's my prayer tonight. Here. He wants to do a powerful work. I'm going to ask your help. If we could do we're just in a special moment right here. It's different than what the other nights have been. It's different. And I'm recognizing that and I'm calling that out. And so I would ask if you could very quietly, not with a lot of chatter, a lot of jokes, not with a lot of banging the chairs around, but if you could quickly and quietly just stay in this atmosphere. If you could just grab your chair or even help grab somebody else's chair and just move those to the sides. We want to go into a time of just some strategic ministry time. Just stay in this moment. We're going to stay in this atmosphere. Just begin to come and talk to him. Just begin to come and talk to him. I anticipate a lot of you want to respond probably to both of these calls of breaking the cycle of going numb and restoring your passion and going numb, restoring your passion, right? And because it's just the human nature, we do this, but God's spirit is greater. He is greater. And then that second call of God, show me. And some of you might already know, and I want, if you know who you're supposed to reach, I just want you to begin to pray for them. God, I know that you're calling, and you can even call them out by name. Call that group out by name. I know you're calling me to reach my volleyball team or my swim team or whatever that is, right? You fill in that blank. Who has God called you to be the light for? The cabin leaders, the leadership team, the prayer people, we're going to just begin to pray. And if when somebody comes to you, there's something that we're not talking about tonight that you're just like, you know, would you pray for this too? Go ahead, you could ask them. It's cool. It's cool because God's here in this moment. But specifically, we're saying, God, break, conquer the numbness in my life. I don't want to go back to being numb. I don't want to go back like David, being somewhere he shouldn't have been, seeing something he shouldn't have seen, thinking something he shouldn't have thought, doing something he shouldn't have done, losing something he should have never lost. I don't want that cycle in my life anymore. God, help me to stay passionate. Help me to not be comfortable. Help me to stay alive. Help me to conquer this in my life.